Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 141. Thou shalt remember that timing is everything. When it comes to timelines, I'm their biggest fan. Whether it's a schedule for a day, an itinerary for a weekend, or a full-fledged five-year plan, you name it, I've 100% got it. This kind of scrupulous and strategic forward thinking is an attribute that I share with a majority of my friends. But in particular, I'm talking about my female friends. But in the wise words of Carrie Bradshaw, I couldn't help but wonder, where time is concerned, are men as strategic as their female counterparts? There was only one way to find out.
Welcome back to the podcast, Shad.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Cheers.
How many guys do you get on the podcast? I have
Not
to sip
many.
A drink. I've been told it's bad luck.
Also, this drink that I'm drinking is absolutely foul.
Are you going to say the brand?
I'm not going to say the brand, but I'll say the flavour. It's a hibiscus and pomegranate seltzer. And I have to say, you would have noticed you've been here for about an hour now. There is just a mishmash of drinks.
Yeah. Why is that?
With
Why?
Us now. Because we had people over last weekend. You know when you have a big group of people over and they all bring their own drinks, but everyone's drinking different things.
It's the only reason to throw a house party.
Exactly. And everybody leaves like one or two of their drinks in the fridge.
Yeah.
So the next morning when you open the fridge, it's like an alcoholic pick and mix. And you just have all of these like one drink flavors. So we've been making our way through them this week. And these are the last ones that we have left. So,
well, I'm glad I'm having the leftover dregs of your house party.
Suffice to say, I will not be buying hibiscus and pomegranate seltzer ever again.
Whose was it? Who was the person that was drinking
I think it was one of Damon's friend's girlfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can play the judgeridoo on them for their shit drink choice. Are you allowed to swear on your podcast at the moment? Mm-hmm. You've moved to another brand.
Yeah, but you can still swear.
Still allowed to do that? All right,
same
that's good.
Rules still apply.
That's
so,
lovely.
My Shaddles.
Yes.
The nickname that you love oh so much.
It's so good.
Today, I want to talk to you about timelines.
Okay.
Mostly relationship-based timelines, because I just feel like that is where the timeline conundrum kind of applies the most to people of our sort of age in our life.
Right. How old are you again?
31.
Yeah, right.
How old are you?
32.
32.
33 this year, though.
32 this year.
You know what? It's fucking wild, isn't it? Because now it's like, it's not that you're old. You're not old. Like, you know what I mean? You're not old. If anything,
but you're not young.
You're not young. This is how I said it. I was trying this to someone the other day. I was like, you have, like, what the feeling I get at the moment is I get, because as you know, like, I'm like trying to get some different qualifications in life at the moment outside of comedy and that. And I sit there, I'm like, your decisions feel a little bit more important. Like, because you're like, oh, like in your 20s, you're kind of like, if I fuck this up, I've got my 30s to back me up.
Exactly.
But then you meet people in their 40s and you're like, it's a hard thing to back up a fuck up in your 30s.
Someone slid into my DMs the other day and said, enjoy your 30s because your 40s are awful. And I was like, really?
Yeah. You know what? You know what I think's also interesting is like, it's a bit rich, all these people. And you were one of them that's like, my 20s is so hard. Who am I going to be? What am I going to do? How do I get my life together? It's like, fuck off. Just enjoy it, mate. Then when your hangovers are actually killing you for 3 days, then you should worry about what you're doing in life.
Hindsight is so cruel because I completely agree. I wish I just enjoyed my 20s more rather than whinge my way through them.
Yeah, I think it's a rite of passage as well. I love my 20s. It was so good.
But I do love my 30s, I have to say.
I feel wiser in a way. Like I have far more mature conversations, especially with the opposite sex. Like a very, I'm way more upfront.
Okay.
Like as you know, I was in like a little bit of a casual hooking up kind of situation.
Yeah.
And then having to have that come to a head.
So you had to have the conversation.
Yeah. And it
did
was
you
like,
call it quits or did she?
Oh, it was a mutual like aware of like it's kind of it's all fine. And this is like and because the sex was outrageous. And that makes it hard. You know what I mean? It's a hard decision. But it was kind of the sense of, you know, going down a garden path of like feelings at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the chat was kind of like, look, as it's the same as when this started. I'm in no area at the moment with the capacity to be like, oh, I'm going to go back into a relationship. It's just not something.
That's quite a while though that you were seeing her for, a couple of months.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was
exclusive.
Yeah, like it wasn't like a yeah, but it was an interesting chat. And like to this girl's credit, because she's a lot younger than me as well. Mm. She's in her 20s. But it was like a real like, well, look, this is where it's at, and you, way more honest.
Yeah,
just fascinating because I think like 20-year-old me would have been like, no. I can have my cake and eat it too right now. Like we can just keep jagging. I won't have any of this conversation.
But now
with
all of a sudden
and
you're like,
someone will get hurt and it'll be a fucking nightmare. But who cares? In my 20s, it doesn't matter. Whereas now I'm like, here's all the things. If you want to keep doing it, you already know all of this. It's now like your responsibility, which is a fascinating.
Because now you're super aware of other people's feelings.
Yeah, and I think yes, but I also think that. You're a lot easier to be like, if you give all these people the information, it's like you're trying to transfer the idea of feeling guilty if something bad happens later. Because you're like, how can I be, you shouldn't feel bad if things go bad from here on end because all the information was given. Because you know how a lot of times when things end badly in that scenario in a relationship, it's because
lack
someone was given falsehoods of the idea of like, yeah, this is going to be something at some point. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to do that. And then I was thanked, which is a lovely feeling. Like, oh, well, you're very welcome, yes.
Well, you have just provided the perfect little segue into the topic for this week's episode.
All right.
Which is timelines. Mm-hmm. So I just think it would be really interesting to kind of, I know we were talking earlier off air about kind of career-based timelines, but I think that is a discussion for another day because that is just a different kettle of fish entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So today let's stick to like the relationship-based timeline scenarios.
Okay.
And I know that everyone has different opinions about this, and this is why I really want to get yours versus mine.
Right.
So
we're talking like the time frame of things in life, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Like how long to do stuff or yes. How long you should keep doing something? Both.
Both.
Okay.
So the first question is, how long do you chat to a girl on a dating app before you ask her out on a date?
Personally?
Yeah.
Ask her out on a date? I'm pretty much doing it immediately.
Okay.
I fucking hate the texting, the back and forth, blah, blah, blah. Like.
But then what would be the percentage of people that you'd be chatting to on a dating app at any
Me?
Given period of time?
Fuck all, to be okay. honest. I hate them. It's like I dead set use it and I know that women do the same thing. It's mm-hmm. just like flicking through a catalog. That's all that really is to me.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm bored and then, you know what, I get annoyed and I go, "This, I need to get rid of this."
So then hit me with a typical exchange of someone you'd be chatting to on like a Tinder or a Bumble. What do you use right now?
I got a new phone, so I think the only thing on there is Tinder at the moment.
Okay. So you'd like to be like,
I'm
hey, how are you?
It.
Yeah, good. How
I'm
are
actually,
you?
I'm actually about to delete Tinder.
Okay, great.
Because it keeps yelling at me.
Mm.
Hey, man, someone likes you, man. Like, what are you doing on a Saturday night alone? You're like, fuck off, bro.
Oh, the push notifications.
Yeah.
That's
like,
clever marketing.
I think he needs to leave me alone. It's worse than like Domino's or when you get an Airbnb and they send you like 80 emails to remind you that you're going to stay somewhere.
Mm.
Let's see if I've got one on here. I don't think I will. But it's dead set. It's like, it's just like, I'm not big on the text game, but it's like a chat. And then usually 9 times out of 10, if I'm talking to someone on this, it's definitely well into the PM. I mean, this one was 10 something PM. And I immediately was like, are you out? I was in Cairns. So
you up?
Pretty much. I was like, and then it was like, nah, unfortunately, rah, rah. And I was like, well, I'm here for a few days. If you're up for a drink, I don't really talk on these things.
Okay, that's cool.
Because it's boring.
It is boring.
Dead set boring. Yeah. It's like, ugh, such a – and I prefer to see someone face-to-face in a social situation because it's way funner. You get to talk about stuff better. And the quicker you meet up with each other, the less it'll be like, oh, fuck, that's what they're like. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
100%.
So I'd be like within 2 days.
Yeah, that's good. I would be the same if some – like. Obviously, I'm in a relationship now, but like back in my dating app days.
But you're still on the apps, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. but if I was chatting to somebody and the convo was going well and if they hadn't kind of alluded to a date within like a 24 to 48 hour time frame.
Right.
You'd be like, what are you here for?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like what's your vendetta?
Yeah,
for sure. And then you'd get bored, it would trickle off and you'd delete them.
Yeah, fair. I had a mate say to me this too that was fascinating and to be honest, in inexperience, he's 100% correct. But he was like, the best dating app you have on your phone is Instagram.
So true.
Yeah, he was like, all the other ones are nothing. It's actually my housemate, Jake. And he was like, when I first moved in with him after I broke up with my girlfriend last year, was he was like, we're out having a drink or whatever. And he said, like, I'll take a photo of you, like, while you're here having a beer. I was like, what, wine? He goes, just trust me. And it was me with the dog. And he takes a photo and he's like, you whack that up.
On his Instagram story and tagged
you. Yeah, he's like, chuck it up, bro. He goes, if you're going to meet girls, like, this is the way. He's like, it's better, the apps are bullshit. He's like, you just meet people through, especially because we're working gigs. We're doing live shows and we're meeting a lot of people through venues and stuff. He's like, this is how you'll meet people way better. And it's like, and it's way clearer because everyone wants to be able to stalk to figure out just what this person's about and conversation starters. Because when you meet in person, you ask questions, right? But how shit does a text message change look when it's like, so what do you do? Like,
yeah.
And where are you from? And yeah. Like, yeah, you know, and all that. It's way better in like a conversation.
Yeah.
But I will say this, dating sucks ass. It is the worst shit it ever.
I was also, I was a really lazy online dater. I just didn't date. I didn't put the time or energy into it that some people did. And I really admired, and I was actually jealous of, I had two girlfriends in particular who were like relentless, and they would schedule dates 5 nights a week on these dating apps, and they would be chatting to so many people at a time, and they got so good at dating that they actually enjoyed dating, and we'd get recaps after every single date. So they'd have a template of things that they would tell us that would be like name, age, location, banter, and they'd give it a rating. It was so good. And then she went and found herself like the greatest boyfriend of all time, and they're obviously still together. But
that's crazy though, isn't it? Like, I just, it's like my, I haven't been on a heap, but my experience for the most part has been me doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Well, you know what I've learned now?
Go on Bumble then. Girls make the first move.
No, it was on that. It was on that. But I, it's not in the messages. I'm talking about in person. And I learned this of another mate of mine, a girlfriend of mine was like, you need to, every time you go on one of these dates, if you ever go on a date with anyone, she's like, always go to the date under the proviso that you have something on after.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because she's like, because you need the parachute to eject. Because I said to her, I was like, I've been on two dates and it was so
awkward.
I said to her, I was like, one of them, I was sitting at the bar, we're like, we're having drinks. She brought her dog. I gave her a lift in to go and do this. So we like went and had some beers in the arvo. And I was thinking, oh, this would be interesting because, like, worked at, like, ran a bar, like, ran her own thing, all this kind of stuff. I was like, it was fascinating. But it wasn't at all. It was just, like, short answers, which is fine. Like, maybe she's not at, like, got into the date, was like, this isn't for me, which is fine. But it's, like, it would have been nice if I would just get out of that way earlier than I had to.
100%.
It took way too long for me to have to get out of that shitty situation. You know when you're asking someone a lot of questions and you kind of, at some point, you kind of, like, you know, I'm up to some pretty cool shit as well.
You know?
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of sit there going, geez, fucking, is this bitch going to ask me any fucking questions at some point?
Do you know what that's called? There's an actual dating slang term for that. It's called a date view, like an interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's that's
when a date
like.
Feels more like a job interview than a date.
Yep. A mate of mine, I know you have more questions and I'm probably talking too much, but a mate of mine who's a comic, Damien Power, has this great bit at the moment about how he's like dating now, because he's also like split up and stuff. He's like dating now. He goes, it's so weird from when I was originally dating. He goes, everything's in reverse. He's like, it's all in reverse now. He's like, we meet, we fuck. Then if things go well with the sex, then we'll have dinner at some point. It's just like, that's so funny. Like, it's completely the opposite.
And also the most perfect segue into my next question, which is how long do you wait to have sex with someone?
Same amount, 1 to 2 days.
I mean, I don't disagree with you there. But has that changed for you? Actually, no, I probably wouldn't have since you got older. But when I was young, I used to be a little bit more traditional, if you will.
3 dates?
Yeah, three, like when I was younger, like when I was like uni-based, like when you just kind of start dating, I would, for the most part, try and make people wait. But then kind
was
of
that
as...
Was that for you or was that because you didn't want to be considered a slut?
No, that was definitely for me, but I think I was also a bit of a prude, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
if
right.
If I'm being honest. Not a prude. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that was by choice because I was...
Well, I'd hope that you lost your virginity by choice. Otherwise, this episode would take a very, very dark turn.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I was 18 by choice. Obviously, I'd been propositioned prior to that, but I had a lot of preconceived ideas about the kind of person I wanted that to happen with.
It's fascinating how much importance youth puts on the first time.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to be.
And it's awful. More. Just get it over and done with. Yeah. No one wants to remember that experience.
Yeah, you're right. I hope you don't have young people in that age listening to your podcast, though, because that kind of advice is dangerous. But no, was it a long-term boyfriend?
No, it wasn't long. But we'd been dating for about 6 or 7 weeks.
Right. Mine was, I remember when I lost my, I think I was 16. And it was a, it was 17 and, it was just to get it over and done with kind of scenario.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a girl kind of, I don't even remember that much, but I remember I had to go to work straight after. I remember that because I was late. I was late to work. But my mum, my mate's mum was the boss. And I kind of rocked up late. She's like, where have you been? And I was like, I was seeing a girl. And she goes, that's fun.
You got that dirty sex smell about you arriving to
work. Yeah, I remember that. It was like a get over and done with. And I never slept with that person or hooked up with them ever again. It was just I don't know. I was like, whatever. Now the horse has left now and now it's like on your way, son.
Mine was like semi-romantic. I was at a beach house.
Mm.
We'd just played strip poker with a whole group of friends.
Jeez, this is an episode. I think this is an episode of the AC, wasn't it?
I thought so. And then the next day we all went to the Britney Spears concert. Like, it was a pretty ideal first time, if I'm being honest.
Jesus, the Britney Spears concert. Fucking hell.
But now, for example, do you have a time frame?
I don't know. I don't think there's like, obviously with nothing there's a hard and fast rule. But I think that like, I think it's something, I actually think now that I'm older, I think it's something that I understand it being early on. 100%. Like, because I think that.
And I think the girls that listen to this podcast would actually get a lot of value in hearing your opinion about this, because I think that some girls fear being judged by the male, that they'll come off a certain way if they do it too quickly, which I don't think is the case at all.
I also think it depends on the male. Like, okay, I put it to you this way, right? So if you meet a guy, and you are like, so like, I don't know, do we still call him Heavy D on the podcast or do we say his name?
We can call him by his name now.
We can call him Damon? Yeah. Oh, that's outrageous. I came up with the name Heavy D, by the way, but anyway, did love it. Like, say when you met Damon.
First night.
Yeah, first night, right? But when you met him, were you like, this guy is the guy?
No.
Exactly, because you never are. Never really that way. That's for the fucking movies and back in the 50s when a whole bunch of other things were acceptable, like smoking and calling people the N-word. A whole different world back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, I think that there's, women are far more, and I think I joked about this with you when I was like driving Ubers and shit and picking up 20-year-olds and stuff and hearing the outrageous discussions. There's like, they had a sexual revolution in the 70s and the late 60s where it was like, yeah, we're women, we're fucking sexual beings, deal with it, right? I reckon another resurgence happened in the 2000s, 2010s kind of era where it's like, no, we mean it.
You know,
we're allowed to have sex, we want to have sex, we want to do this, we want to, you know, dance along the line of the spectrum of sexuality, we can do whatever the fuck we want. And I think that there will be guys, just like there are girls, that would turn around and maybe have some kind of commentary about, I slept with that, like, yeah, we hooked up and we slept together. But to be honest, my experience with a lot of my mates, and they're good blokes, except for a couple, but, like, it's not really a discussion that is taking place with guys. Like, I think I do this in a bit of mine, but, like women are able to describe a man's penis with so much, with so much detail, it should be a superpower.
Mm.
Whereas on the other side, it's so baffling to me to know that, because as a man, we don't do that about vaginas.
No.
So if you're worried about details. But I think girls think
that they do.
Yeah. So if you're worried, this is how guys' night goes. Oh, did you go home with Phoebs last night? Yeah. Did you fuck her? Yeah. Sick. Anyway, do you get the next beer? Like, it's essentially where it goes. You know what I mean?
Whereas in a girl's head, they'll be like, oh, was my stomach hanging out? Is my vagina weird? No.
Not at all. I mean, unless you do something pretty outstanding in terms of like something exceptionally amazing in the bedroom. Like, you've got silks hanging down from the roof and you went full buddy. Like,
which also.
Circus d'Olay type of lowering yourself. Then that'll probably get a discussion.
Yeah. Which is also why I'm so glad that there are people like Abby Chatfield in the world who are promoting female sexual empowerment.
I'm glad that that's one of the things she promotes.
She has her own range of vibrators.
Good on her. But she also has some other fucking hectic opinions about men that are not accurate at all. Like, we're all
She's been burned.
Also, why does she keep popping up on Tinder every fucking four slides of the way? She on an ad campaign or some shit?
Are you seeing her on Tinder?
Yeah, she's on an ad campaign or something. It's like on YouTube and shit. I'm like, what's going on here? Anyway, I mean, when it's business, you want to stay single, don't you? Otherwise, you don't get paid anymore. You go for your life, honestly. Because the other thing as well is how often have you wasted time seeing someone and then it doesn't click and then you're stuck in this bubble of like, maybe, I don't know, and it's like we all sit here and we try to pretend like the idea that, especially like a male, like sex and intimacy are very kind of – quite linked in the male psyche. And it's not in a massively negative way. But it's like, you know, that is a important factor in the relationship.
Oh, and there is so much to be said about sexual connection and sexual chemistry in a relationship. Mm. And it is very important.
Yeah, yeah. So
wouldn't you rather find that? And I'm not advocating that if you don't want to have it on the first date, don't have it on the first date. But there's nothing wrong with sleeping with someone on a first date.
Fuck no. And you know what? A lot of your mates that have got long-term relationships and say that they didn't do that are fucking liars.
I know.
They are mass liars and I don't understand why they're lying. My ex, we slept together on the first night we met each other, she hooked up with someone else. I actually helped her hook up with someone at a party.
I remember you telling me this story.
And then like down the track she came to hang out and it was the first day.
Mm.
And then that went great for the period that it went for.
I just think though that if you're feeling it, go with it. That's always been my opinion.
If it feels good, do it.
And keep doing it.
Yeah.
How long are you seeing someone until you tell your friends about it? Because for girls, it's basically immediate. You match with someone on Tinder, your girl gang has a screenshot in the group message.
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably longer now.
Yeah.
I probably keep it a little bit.
Until it's something more than just a date.
Yeah, I think
unless it came up in conversation like, hey, man, what'd you do last night? Oh, I went on a date with this girl.
Yeah, like my situation is I live with people. So it becomes known a lot quicker than.
Or if one of you is going out somewhere, you're like, hey, where are you going?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm real social. So like anything, even if it's like, you know, casual stuff or whatever, it's generally I prefer to be out among people and doing stuff. So it becomes known pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't come and hang out with my close mates until it's
solid.
Yeah, or like I'm confident you're a good time.
Do you know what I think? Without a shadow of a doubt, I think meeting the good friends is scarier and harder than meeting the parents.
Yeah, 100%, because I chose them. Like they're people that I've.
And if you don't get along with them, that's going to come at the cost of either the friendship or the relationship.
100%. And you don't want to be the person that costs someone their friends. That sucks. That's the horrible. I hate people like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of friends that I've lost to many of those situations. But it's I think that's a big thing, especially for me. Like it's hard to meet a lot of my mates because I don't all live around here.
Yeah.
But it's my mates are big talkers, they're big jokers. Yeah, man, and like my mate Coots, she's a hurricane of a human being. Like she comes in, she's everything high octane, one of my closest friends. And very quick to judge. So it's like you got to be able to handle yourself. And
in a high-pressure situation.
Yeah, or just being able to roll with the punches. Mm. I don't know. It's like it's the same for a guy. Like I want to meet new friends. It's like it can be a
– I agree. I wouldn't introduce someone to my close group of friends before it was something. But, I mean, I also, because of what I do with the podcast, don't have the luxury of keeping anything really that happens to me in my life a secret.
Well, yeah.
So there was a phase in my life when I was – very single and actively dating and on a lot of dating apps where that really interfered and got in the way because people were like, you're going to use me as content. I was like, well,
mate,
of course I am.
For 8 years.
That's why I'm here. Yeah. I don't actually want to go on a date with you, but I need something to talk about in next week's episode.
Fuck, that's brutal.
Well, you know what? That's when my podcast was at its peak.
Right. So did you ever see someone's profile and you're like, yuck, but good content?
No. Okay. More, I was never good at the dating apps per se, but I used to meet people in funny situations and then know off the bat that they would not be someone that I'd date. Mm. But if they asked me, I would accept a first date.
Is that like when you dated the trader that turned out to be a stripper?
No, No.
Oh, okay.
No. We dated for months. Different. Okay. When I met the guy at the top of the mountain, when I climbed Mount Tibragargan, I met a guy at the top. We went on one date after, and before we went on that date, I think there was like a 3 or 4 day layover between meeting him on the mountain and going on a date, and he already in that period of time listened to, I think, 7 to 8 episodes of my podcast.
What a fucking psycho. What?
And didn't buy me a drink, got his own drink at the bar, and then I had to go separately to get a drink, which I don't care if you don't pay, but like, let's just do this together. Because that's
a bit
awkward.
On the podcast where you talked about that? Yeah. Like he's trying to do all of the, he's trying to tick all the boxes that are on the
thing. Then he would incessantly message me for months after that being like, my friends listen to your podcast and you call me Mountain Man. And I was like, man, this is too far now.
Can I flip a question onto you?
Yes.
Of timelines?
Yes.
How long, right, should, and yeah, this will be personal experience. How long after, like say there was like an initial hangout date, right? And then there was like, oh, we should do this again. Yeah, we should do this again. And we're mm-hmm. talking.
Yeah.
Right? But then it's like a couple of schedule whatever, right? How long of schedules not lining up should you just be like, nah, this is not going to happen. See ya.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. And I think that if your schedule, so if you propose something to someone and they're like, sorry, I can't do that, I'm busy.
Mm.
They should propose a time that they can do to off that up off the bat as an alternative.
And then if that doesn't fit,
yeah.
Because like, so this is the scenario I've got. So it's like similar sitch, like what you just said. But then now I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to say anything now.
So you ask someone if they wanted to hang out at this time.
Now I'm just like, eh, it's on you. I'm not going to do this little conversation back and
think about
chatty.
It in the same way that you would give me advice. Like if I had said to you, I've asked this guy out on a date and he said, oh, I'm busy then, you would give me the cold hard facts and be like, he's not interested. Because if you are interested in someone,
and that's
you
of,
are teeing up the next date.
And that's essentially my thing after like, you know, a few days. It's like, yeah, and I kind of put it down that way. It's like, yeah, well, you just let me know. And then that's the last correspondence that I do.
A couple of, yeah.
Which that's I think good. Is a better way to, I think that's the way to do it.
I think so too. Love
balling other people's courts is both lazy but also the best.
And also you don't want to then just be hanging around and waiting for a response that may or may not come.
Nah, I'm not interested in anyone in that way to bother.
No, but why should you? Okay, next one.
I always wonder doing this podcast if I come off well or bad.
I wonder the same thing. Okay, this is an interesting one because I'm not sure if you remember the advice that you gave me about this particular topic, but what is your timeline for moving in with a partner? Now, I'm not sure if you remember this, but we had the radio show.
Yeah, when you did it too early.
When I told you
yeah.
that I was moving in with Damon.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, I don't think you should move in together yet. Because
nah.
we'd been dating for
3 months.
No. Nah, by the time we moved in, we'd been dating for 5. So
Too short a time.
Well, look how well it's turned out.
Nah, it's, yeah, well, has it?
I'm sorry. Who set this recording up and who gave us our drinks? I believe that was
Jamie.
Yeah,
I mean, it's worked out great for you, but there's always a winner and a loser in every situation, isn't there? But no, I think I said to you at least 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least 12.
Because how many girlfriends have you lived with?
Only the one proper, like only one probably, which was Tars. But it's like, man, moving in is something else.
It also is. Because we moved in 4 weeks before COVID hit and that caused a whole another layer of complications, which we got through unscathed.
Isn't it wild that that's when our radio show ended? Like that feels like a fucking age, like a
doesn't guy. It? I think we should do another whole episode about that because I'm still still raw from it. But
a year because like, well, as you know.
A year?
Yeah, 12 months. You need to wait 12 months. I think, because it's a lot. Moving in with someone is a lot.
You see everything.
You don't get alone. You're going to see things that are not very attractive. And like, you're going to figure out what they do with stuff. And like, I mean, we all get lucky, but it's like, it's a whole different kettle of fish, I reckon. Cause it's like, you like having someone around, but it's like nearby. Like not right there, like in front of you,
yeah,
like there, And you don't, like, it takes like 12 months, you've got more odds to see a lot of these things. Whereas, like, in 6 months, like, some people have barely even seen the other person's room through 6 months.
Mm.
How often have you seen Damon's room? Well, actually, you're pretty quick onto it. You probably saw it a lot.
We did. Well, we were already at the point where we were spending majority of nights together at one of our houses.
But we all
and
do
we
that.
Didn't live very close to each other. Mm. And we were both living with people that we couldn't stand. So we were looking at separate places, and it was like this unspoken thing that neither of us was saying. And we're both looking at single bedroom apartments in the same suburb.
Mm.
And we're going to these inspections, like, what do you think? What do you think? And then one day we got drunk and we were like, what if we just did it together? And I think after we made the decision to move in together, we both admitted to each other after we already lived here that we freaked out. Because we were like, is it too soon? This is pretty fucking crazy. I've never lived with a boyfriend before ever. I've spoken about it with a previous one a couple of times, but it never came to fruition. So in my head, it was a huge deal, you know, but it worked out. And I don't regret doing that because it's the best. But that was a very short timeline.
It's big. I moved in early as well. Mine was like 6 months or something. With mine, and it was another convenience thing. Like,
yeah. But you don't regret moving in with her that early.
Not really. I mean, but the dynamic in mine was different. She owned the house.
Okay.
Which is my type.
Sugar mama.
Yeah. And my type is you own your house, sick. That's sick. That's pretty sick. No. But no, it's it's like with everything. Like, everyone's got their own way of going. But it is a big jump, because I think I said this to you as well, which was like, once you move in together, it is extremely rare, to the point of never happens, that you then no longer live with each other but are still together.
What?
You know what I mean? Like, once you move in together,
yeah.
No couple has moved in together, right? I find it hard to believe. Maybe people will message a podcast, and if so, great. I'd love to chat to you because it's fascinating. But you move in together and then you're like, you know what? I still really like you, but this is not working out. We need to live separately again for a bit.
Oh,
and you
stay
together. That doesn't happen. You move in, and then the only time you don't live together anymore
is
when this is fucking done. Yep. And that's why it's such a big call to me in my mind, because I'm like, you're fucking in now. You are in, you're ride or die. Like, that's how it is now if you move in together.
Yeah.
And that's generally how it is. Like, I had a brief period when I lost my job and stuff that we were living separately because of we didn't have a house, which was bliss. No, it was but it's like
I think there's a lot to be said as well about the age that you do that. And if you are maybe a bit older when you meet your partner, it can happen a little bit quicker than you would have. For example, I could not imagine living with anybody when I was in my early 20s.
I reckon everything we've got right now probably has an age scale to it.
Yeah.
Like, the older you get personally, the quicker everything happens. I don't know about sex though. I wonder if sex happens quicker in first interactions.
The older you get.
Yeah. Do you reckon, like, you've got mates that are like in like our age that are single? Are they like straight up, let's go, let's do this? Probably, yeah.
It's not that it's the
it's the whole click. It's like the ticking tock thing. It's like the end of the world's coming, and you're like, we better sleep together.
It's not that time is of the essence, but you just have less time to waste.
Yeah, which means time is of the essence. What do you mean? Like, it's like you don't have a lot of time to waste, but also like you don't have time to waste. That's essentially what you just said.
It's not like let's speed this along, but it's like, oh, I can't be bothered going out with you on a second date if we're not gonna be compatible in that way, or you know?
Yeah, I get what you mean. And it's kind of like you usually experience by then as well. So you're quicker, like what I said earlier in the pub, like you're more open to how you're feeling about something.
Yeah, and you've dated enough people to know what you will and won't
put up with. Mm. Did you, when you moved in with, because I know you did an episode recently that was like the
Expectations versus
reality. Has he listened to that yet?
No.
What was the number one thing moving in with Damon?
For us, personally?
That you were like, oh no.
Our bedtime and wake up schedule.
Oh, that's pretty
tame. Which is a very standard thing really that you learn that you have to compromise about. But also because we chose to live in a loft, there are no walls in our bedroom, so you can hear everything happening when you're outside the bedroom. So if I get up early to go to the gym, for example, which I do every single day, he will wake up at the fault of me.
Okay.
Right. But that is not something I'm willing to compromise on.
How long have you guys been together now?
It'll be 2 years in October.
Has the sex, right, very intimate question, but I feel like all your listeners right now have gone, ooh, gone higher or lower? Because my experience in a long-term relationship was like first 6 months to a year, like when you're first together, it's like the stock market is high. Sex is at an all-time high. We are booming right now. The bubble is huge. And then when you start to get the like back end of like two and then moves on, it's like, we've had a dip in the market. Like
that's actually very funny that bit. You say that because somebody wrote to me a few weeks ago on Instagram. They slid into my DMs and said the expectations versus reality of when they moved in with their partner was it would be sex every single night, and now she's like, I basically beg for it. And I was like,
she begs for it. Yeah. So his libido has gone back.
Mm. Yeah, but I think the difference is when you live with somebody,
it's hard to have sexy moments.
No, not hard to have sexy moments, but it's available whenever you want it. Whereas when you don't live with somebody, it's kind of, oh, well, I'm only seeing you this night and this night this week. So it's just not even spoken. We're just going to do it.
So you reckon, because you know how some people a lot of older people in long-term marriages kind of say like they schedule it in a way. And you kind of go, that's gross. That's disgusting. But what you've just kind of described, like, because you go, that's rigid. Not disgusting, but like that's rigid. You know, you're forcing it. That's fucked. But in the dating world, when you're not living together, you kind of subconsciously have scheduled it in purely through
like
the when
in
you're
in your
dating.
Mind, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to his house tonight. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get
some. Which you
some.
Know, like next
you know.
Week I'm staying at his, so we're going to have sex. So. You've already subliminally scheduled sex in.
I think
but
it's
then when
just
you're together,
the
there is no that. There's no peak moments.
No, I think it's just the thought of being like, oh, yeah, waking up on a Tuesday morning and having a conversation. Oh, yeah, are we going to have sex tonight? Yep, cool, we'll have sex tonight. Cool, see you after work. Have a good day.
Yeah.
That is my worst nightmare.
Yeah, but it's still there's still spontaneity?
Yeah, you'd like 100%.
Just go for it? 100%. See, that's good. You guys are in a healthy one because not all are like that. There'll be people listening now where it's like,
I mean,
it doesn't
I will
stay
say,
that way.
I will just say that I am ready to go at any given time.
Well done.
I'm probably more masculine.
Hats off to you. Because my experience was a little bit different in that regard, which I think especially on the back end was kind of a precursor to being like, this is probably not.
Was it the longer the relationship went on, the more that phase dropped off? Because I think that you're intimate.
We had another peak. Like, you know, like Magic Mike came out. That was a good, that was a good month. And then when they decided to make another one of those, the ones off that book, the 50 Shades ones.
Yeah.
That was a good little pick. I think as well, though, when you move in with someone, you've really got to make sure that you kind of
effort.
Really socialize with people together.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of my mates do really well in their relationships. I'm one of the negative things that I did was like I really liked having my own world to do things and like, you know, especially with like comedy and stuff like that. And like that's where I went and lived. But I think over the course of time, not allowing enough interaction between those worlds meant that things like you just started separating more, which then sex pays the price. In a relationship, I feel, when things don't go well, sex seems to pay the price early. You know what I mean? Everything else seems to stay pretty much where it is until towards the end. You know, you'll still keep the facade up of because you can fake everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But wanting to have sex with each other, you cannot really – like I know women can fake it, but it's like, you know what I mean? You cannot fake the want to do it. And I think that's how you can really tell early on where things need probably a bit of work is because that starts to become clunky, even the act of it. And you're like, this is
awkward.
Awkward. It's not quite.
There was actually in Sex and the City, I know it was like super old, but Samantha said sex is a barometer for what's going on in a relationship. And I think that's actually quite true.
Well, as we've heard already, this house is hot. it is like the top. It is Darwin right now in this place all throughout the year. I mean, I can't wait till Damon gets back. I'll get him to wash his hands with us, but I'll shake it. I'll definitely shake his hand. No wonder he's always puffed when I get it.
I hope my mum or his mum is not listening to this episode. Okay, which brings me to my last question because we have rambled on for quite some time now, and that is meet the parents.
How long?
Yeah.
That is the last thing. Depends how crazy your parents are, actually.
Yeah.
Like, mine is I've met early on both my last relationships.
Yeah.
Met very quickly, very early. I don't find it that intimidating meeting parents, to be honest.
Neither. I find the friends more intimidating than the parents.
Yeah, so I don't really – it doesn't bother me too much. But a lot of the reason why you hold off on a lot of these things, mate, is not so much how you feel, but it's the image it portrays to the person.
And it is the incessant questions that you then get from the parents about that person. And you don't want to introduce them to someone that you know is just like, he's fine for now. But then you know that for 9 months you're going to get questions
about that person. I really liked that guy. Oh, like that kind of shit, yeah.
Poor mum, he fucked my friend.
Well, I mean, that doesn't have to be the end of it. I guess like that type of shit, yeah. Like,
but was he sorry though?
Ones hold off entirely. For as long as possible, I reckon.
See, Damon met my mum very early, but it wasn't
That's planned. Different though, because Vicky's the best. She is something else.
We were having breakfast somewhere about, we'd been dating for about 3 or 4 weeks, and my mum called me and asked me where I was, and I said, I'm at this cafe. It was close to her house, and I was like, I'll pop over after. 15 minutes later, I'm deep in conversation with Damon, and he just, his eyes avert to the front door of the cafe, and he was like, that's gotta be your mum. And she walked in, sat down, and ordered breakfast.
He'd never met her before.
Never met her before.
Just picked that she was your mum.
I mean, it's.
Is that a compliment to your mum, or is that a shot to you?
We'll see. But then I also met his parents. Well, we met in October, and I met his parents, I think, in January. And again, wasn't a big deal. Like, yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. My personal one is I will try and hold off for as long as possible because my mum is fucking insane. And it's like, it'd be too much. It's just too much. Mm. So I would keep that as a longer stress. So that's my personal one. For you, like I said, all this shit, you'll go for your fucking life. If it feels good, do it.
Do it.
Essentially.
And with that said, we always finish.
If it feels good, do it. You shouldn't drink that shitty drink at the end of this.
Well, I'm almost finished. Damon should be back with more drinks soon. As always, we always finish with one piece of advice. So do you want to tie yours up in a beautiful little bow?
I never, like, if it feels good, do it. That's what I've been saying the whole time.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, sick. All right, that's the one.
My advice is any time is a good time.
Well, we know that, don't we? Do you want me to leave when he gets back? Is that what's going to happen?
Cheers.
Cheers.
A Podshape production.